Blog Talk Radio.
Whether it be in person or on social media, may God continue to bless you as to cause you to grow in wisdom and in the knowledge of him.
Come on, see that.
Now for the reason my father also really has given me these few moments to share my perspective on destiny life. As we know, the meaning of trust is the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of something or someone.
Come on.
In a simpler form, it means to believe that someone is good and honest and will not harm you, or that something is safe and reliable. For example, as children, we should be able to trust our parents. We should be able to believe that they are good and honest and will not harm us.
Uh-huh.
And that we are safe when they are with, that we are safe that when we are with them. But as we see lately, and even in times past, parents have hurt their children emotionally, mentally, and even physically.
Yeah.
56 number of Psalms, verses 3 through 4 says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." No, from my perspective, this scripture is telling me that when I am afraid, I should trust in God and not in man. Verse 4 says, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid." From my perspective, this scripture is telling me when I put my total and complete trust in God, I should not be afraid. I know as a young person, it will take some time, some getting used to, some practice, and I know that sometimes I may still be afraid. But for a moment. But when the moment is over, I still put my trust and I will not fear because God is in control.
Amen.
So as I wrap this up, from a young African American female's perspective, I would love for us to look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, and in all ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God wants us to do three things with trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, trust with all your heart. To me, that means with every beat, or better yet, saying with my life first, the heart stops, then my life stops. So I should trust in him with my life. Number two, lean not on your own understanding. To me, this means not to move in my instincts, but to move in his, God's holy word. Number three, in all your ways, acknowledge him. To me, this means to acknowledge that he is there in everything. So as my father, Apostle Bailey, always taught us to conclude the matter. He concludes the matter with John 14, verse 1, that simply says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." I put my trust in God, but I thank God for giving me parents who fear him and love him. So with that, I can trust them as long as they are trusting God. My question to you in person and here online, who are you trusting? Thank you for your time, and thank you for your ears, and thank you for your prayers. I'll let you enjoy the
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We sure enjoyed that on today. Praise God.
Let's give her another hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does it mean? Hallelujah. From
a young American woman's perspective on trusting God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We need to spread this on top of you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We thank God for that on today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we have our announcements. Amen. From Minister Alex to keep you Owen. Just give her a hand.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Here is the church announcement. New Life Bible Christian Fellowship Church will be hosting a women's conference on Saturday, November 18th. Tickets will go on sale soon. The Care Church will be having a revival starting Friday, October 20th. This Sunday, October 22nd, at 2501 Centennial Drive, Arlington 6.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer requests that we received are for Mother Bailey, from Father Janet, Sonny Hubble, Apostle Mayo, and Apostle Bailey. If you have any prayer requests, please inbox Apostle Bailey on his Facebook page, Champion of Better Life Changes. If you would like to be a blessing to the ministry, Please do so by paying a fee using Cash App, dollar sign, New Life, BAL, pound C. Thank you for your attention and listening to us.
Amen.
We thank God, hallelujah, for Minister Alexa Kiki Owens on today and those announcements. Praise God, please. Amen. Make notations of those announcements in your daily planners and calendars. Amen. And make adjustments according to your schedule. Amen. So you won't miss these events. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We just thank God again today. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Praise God. Now getting ready. Hallelujah. Amen. To break the bread of life. Hallelujah, to come forth with the word of God on today, as he always does. Hallelujah, amen. I'm talking about none other than the proprietor here. Amen, a New Life Bible application. Praise God. And we invite you out now, praise God, as well as Care Church. Come out and see you how it started. Praise God, hallelujah. Because in a minute, we ain't gonna be in this building. We ain't going to be in that building, praise God. God is getting ready to move. Hallelujah, amen. And we want y'all to be involved in the movement. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. Groundbreaking movement, hallelujah, is the gospel. Praise God. So come be a part of it. Amen. Don't wait like everybody did with Coach Prime until he got up there to go. You know what I'm saying? Come now, praise God, hallelujah. And let us know, praise God, that you really enjoy the word of God that you receive every week. Praise God, hallelujah. And bringing that word of God, hallelujah, as he does every Sabbath day, hallelujah, amen, is none other than the proprietor, the leader, the pastor, the good shepherd right here in New Life Bible Application Fellowship, none other, hallelujah, than my friend, my brother in Christ, hallelujah, the holy apostle himself, Apostle Kenneth Bailey. Apostle Bailey, is in your hands, hallelujah, allow the Lord to use you as he always does. Hallelujah.
God be over. Thy great Jehovah,
yes,
give us through this very land. God, y'all help me with it. God, Jehovah, Jehovah, Pilgrim, through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Oh, feed me till I want no more bread of heaven. Come, Lord.
Yes.
Come, Father God, thanking you, Father God, Father God, thanking you, Father God, because you are God and God all by yourself. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, because I know, Lord God, if it had not been for you, I would not be here. Lord, I know, Lord God, if it had not been for you, Lord God, I would have died a long time ago. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for just this extra moment that you give me, Lord God. I know, Lord God, I have not been sin free, Lord God. I know, Lord God, I have not walked the way that you wanted me to walk. But, Lord, I ask, Lord God, that you, Lord God, being the God, Lord God, that's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord God, I come to you, Lord God, asking for that forgiveness right now, Lord God. As we all should come, Lord God, knowing that everybody did not walk the way that they're supposed to walk today. They may not admit it, Lord God, but they did not say everything they were supposed to say. Lord God, they know, Lord God, they should understand that even if they did not do what you told them to do, Lord God, that's considered sin, Lord God. That they did not do what you told them to do, they did their own thing, Lord God. And Lord God, let them know, Lord God, that you can forgive them for that also, Lord God. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, right now, Lord God, to open up the minds and the hearts of all those, Lord God, that are assembled here and those that are on social media. Lord God, I ask that you heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do me a favor there, Anaya, please. Go out there and hit the AC, turn it down a little bit for me, and then leave the door open because it's kind of stiff in here. Leave that door open for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been dealing with leadership. Amen. We've been dealing with leadership. And we're not going to deviate from that because we want to know what a good leader is. We want to be better leaders. Amen.
Amen.
The question that I posed, thank you, because that it comes and it feels a lot different. Really does. The question I pose is, what's the difference between a manager and a leader? Some managers believe that they're leaders. And they're not. They are only there just to manage or to maintain something. And there are some people who say that they're not leaders, but they are. And there are some people who claim to be leaders, and they're not. We talked about on last week, we even asked the question, what are some attributes of a good leader? And what did we come up with? Did anybody have any? Come on, did it? Come on, talk to me.
Faithfulness.
Okay, what's another one?
Able to follow directions.
All right, what's another one?
Give instructions.
Okay, that's another one. I'm loving it. And we understood that we talked last week about being a good communicator. You know, Moses was a leader, but he stuttered. God was not going to take Moses out of leadership. God put Moses some help there. Even though, watch this, Moses was a leader, Aaron was the manager. Moses was the leader. Aaron was the manager. He managed to speak what Moses was saying. He was his mouthpiece. Amen. Do you believe that you're a good leader? Do you believe that you're a leader? Now, everyone, watch this. Everyone is not a leader. You got to have some followers, all right? In every situation, you cannot have everybody saying, I'm a leader. You may not be a leader in that situation. You may be a follower in that situation or that circumstance, okay? So we have to know when we are there to lead, and we should know when we're there to follow. Amen? John Maxwell wrote a book called 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. The one thing he said was in that, he says true leadership cannot be awarded, appointed, or a sign. It comes only from developing influence and cannot be mandated. It must be earned. This leadership thing, it has to be earned. You're not born a leader. You were born with the attributes to lead. And over time, you find yourself, amen, you find yourself going through some things that will lead you into your position of leadership. It is the same way with Joseph. Joseph was born. He was born as a child unto Jacob. He ends up in the place where he becomes a leader. But before he became that leader in the palace, he went through some things that pushed him and to press him into that position. Adversity, when it is understood and the knowledge is gained from adversity, adversity don't push you back. Neither does adversity keep you still, but adversity pulls you forward to that place in which God wants you to be in so that you may, watch this, be in that position for the opportunity to lead. If Joseph would have died, Joseph would have never had the opportunity to lead. So I want you to say this first with me. Say, I cannot die.
I cannot die.
I must go through this adversity. So I may have a chance to lead. You got to make it through the adversity so that you will have an opportunity to lead. If you quit, you'll never have an opportunity to lead. If you give up, you'll never have an opportunity to lead. You must go through it. You must go through it. It hurts? Yes. It's draining? Yes. But you have to go through it in order to get an opportunity. Who has said to you that even when you become that leader, you're going to be a great leader? No one says that you'll be a great leader. But it's that opportunity to lead. That's what you're looking for. When I fight through the situation, I have the opportunity to lead. Maxwell says that this thing here, leadership, it's not awarded. It's not appointed. Neither is it assigned. It's another attribute that you have there. What is that attribute? It's that attribute of influence. Are you a good influencer? Are you a good influencer? I share what Maxwell also said over there in his book. He said social influence does not become leadership influence until the people following change their behavior and take action as a result in the interactions with the influencer. Just because you're on social media, just because you can go out there and you can have somebody sit around there and say, hey, man, you know what? That was good that you did. That doesn't make you a leader because a lot of people pat you on the back. It doesn't make you a leader. No, it doesn't. What makes you a leader is when you have some interactions with those people and they tend to follow you. What do you call a leader who has no one following him? You call him a walker. Just somebody who's walking. When nobody's following, he's just a walker. So you want to know if you're a leader, who's following? Who are you influencing? It was a blessing that when I asked my daughter, I said, do you want to do a short talk? She said, yeah, I know everybody in here and everybody on social media right now. Just like what her mother did when she walked in the door. My mother say, is this your short talk, Adalia, or is this your daddy's short talk? And I told her, I said, it's Adalia's short talk. And then Bishop, you know how she realized it was Adalia's short talk? I gave her the proof. Anaya had wrote in the tablet the things she wanted to say. I didn't encourage her to write these things. She sought out those scriptures. She looked them up. And then she went on. Now, as a father and as her leader, I did line it up for her, but I did not do it for her. That was her short talk. So, and I want you all to know, she has to constantly make short talks. The reason why she has to constantly make short talks is because she is my adjutant. And she has to be qualified by making these short talks and giving Bible scripture so that she will be able to be with me. I need somebody that's able to stand and be able to speak if they need to concerning me. And I'm teaching her some things. I'm teaching her some things. Just like right now, if I was to do this, what would this be? And if I was to do this right here, huh? All right. It means come, one, and I need what? All right. So she's learning. These are the signs that I have to teach her. Now, the same way with Bishop Page, as being the leader, you got to come up with your sign. This is the main sign, but that number one, I made that between her and I, it means I need water. You know, whatever signs that he put up after he does this, because this means come as to the adjective. It means to come. And when the adjective gets dismissed, they get dismissed like this. So if she was to come, she would come to me, and then I would dismiss her. Leaders teach. We teach those who are following us. And the reason why I said what I'm saying right now, because it's a great influence. She knows that I'm an influence on her. And I thank God that I am a good influence on her. Anyone have anything that they want to say? Amen. We're going to see, does the Bible have a good influencer? Is he a good leader? Is this guy a good communicator? 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amen. Amen. David and his men arrived in Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had raided the Negev and attacked and burned Ziklag. They also had kidnapped the women and everyone in it, from youngest to the oldest. What happened here? David, him and his men arrived in Ziklag on the third day. Where was David at? David was gone with the Philistines to go and fight against Israel, and he has been sent back because the king of Israel sees David not as a help but as a hindrance, not as a help but a spy. He sees David as somebody that when the pressure is on, because he is from that tribe of Israel, he knows he's from those that clan over there. He understands that. He's saying, now I cannot allow David to hang out with me, because when the battle gets tough, then David and his men may turn against me. So he says, no, send David back. Send David back. And so David, in his obedience, David leaves and he heads back. Isn't it ironic that David is going into battle with his enemy against his family? It is a lot of that that's going on anyway now in society, where people are getting with other people to fight against their own bloodline. There's so much killing that's going on. It was just the other day that two young black men went and tried to kill their own mother and father. And they set them up and tried to kill them and went, and matter of fact, they beat their dad halfway to death. And then they came in there and they beat their mom. The mom was on the phone with 911, and she was calling them, telling them to come help her because her sons was trying to kill them, and they was trying to kill them all because of an insurance policy. That the mother and father has raised these children all of their lives, raised them all of their lives, and because too much information was shared with kids. I'm going to say that again. We share too much information with our children, and our children, because of what this world is coming to, is the world is coming to status, fame, and money. If you don't have status, if you don't have fame, you don't have money, you're nobody. And it doesn't matter how much money, how you get the money, as long as you get the money. If I kill mama and daddy, let me kill mama and daddy so I can get the money. Money, I need to have it for a moment. But mama and daddy has been there for a lifetime. And they tried to kill them. And now they're in jail crying. Oh, we messed up. We messed up. I'm sorry. We shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Amen. And I'm sorry is not the response to every wrong thing. I'm sorry ain't going to get you out of everything. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to jail. I'm sorry. If they would have killed them and got away with it, do you think they would have said they were sorry? And so we see even back then that there was some things, some animosity going on. David is in the camp of his enemy, and he's fighting with his enemy. He fought with his enemy on their side before. Now David is now sent back. He sent back, and he gets back, and when he gets back, things have changed. Somebody say things change.
Amen.
I want you all to know that every day should be a different day in your life. Because why? Things change. I love this the other day. As I left here, I went towards south. I was going south. So I went towards San Antonio, Edinburgh way. And when I left here, the sun was shining. When I left here, the no clouds in the sky. But soon as I got past San Antonio, the wind stopped blowing. Soon as I got a little further down, rain started coming down. Wind blowing, rain coming down. And I believe that I asked Mona, I said, is it raining there? Mona said, no, it's not raining here. But it was raining where I was. Why? Because as long as the day will progress, things will what? Change. As long as the day is going to progress, things will change. So remember this. I have to prepare for the changes in my day. I must prepare for the changes in my day. Now, David, he comes back. And when he comes back, the Bible says when he arrived in the Ziklag, that's where he lived, the Amalekites, that's the enemy of the Philistines and of Israel, they have already raided and they have attacked. And then verse 2 says, they also kidnapped the women and everyone from the youngest to the oldest. They had killed no one, but they had carried them off as they went on their way. Did they kill anyone?
No.
So it was no life lost. Somebody said that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
As the day progresses in our life, where there is no life lost, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We need to be consistent in praying for that good thing. Amen. We should be consistent in praying for that good thing, that no lives will be lost. We should be praying right now that no lives will be lost. In Dallas, I saw a video
the other day, a man went to a tire shop in Dallas, and he got all he did was got out of his car, and he had his phone to his ear. There was another man on the other side, and he walked around with his phone to his ear, and he looked over there at the man on the other side, and calmly the man walked right back to his car. And when he walked right back to his car, all of a sudden, gunshots start firing. The guy he looked at started shooting at him, and then he started shooting back at the guy. Right there on the corner, I don't even know where it was, but it was right there on the corner. They just pulled up like he was going to get his tires changed. And it's just like a normal thing. They shooting at one another as if they're trying to play a game of rob. I'm going to kill you. They kept shooting at one another. Then he just got in his car, and he left. And the people at the tire shop walked back around the tire shop as if that was a normal day activity. We have to start praying for our day. Be consistent in praying for our day. Because if we don't, the question I say, I think I heard 6 shots. Where did those bullets go? Neither one of them got hit. Where did they go? Not too long ago in Dallas, if I'm right about this in Dallas, somebody come through shooting, and a 2-year-old got shot and killed, right? Let me talk to you, social media. For those who want to change their life, who plan this gunplay, bullets don't have anyone's name on it. Stop all this reckless shooting. Let me get back to scripture. When David and his men arrived at the town, they found it burned. Their wives and sons and daughters had been kidnapped. Who was kidnapped? Their family. What was burned? The town has been burned. So it's an agriculture or the economy has just changed for David. Why? Because now everything that they had that they may have been buying and selling is now burnt or it has been taken away. So during the course of David's life or during the course of David's day, he loses his economy, okay? And his economy, it's almost like David was the banker and he had the economy for everybody that was part of his clique. Because you're getting ready to see what happens when people lose everything. When people lose everything, we're going to see, can you lead when everything has come up against you? What type of influence do you have when everything come up against you? And because the only reason that it's gone is because I was following who? If I would have stayed here, I could have fought. But yet, I followed who? Let's see what kind of leader David really is. Let's see what type of influence do David really have. Because I know me. If I lost everything because of some joker, I'd be upset. How about y'all? How about y'all? Would you have a problem with it, wouldn't you? Okay. David and his troops with him wept loudly. What did they do?
Wept loudly.
Until they had no more strength left to weep. David and his 2 wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had also been kidnapped. David was in an extreme difficult position. David was in an extreme difficult position because the truth was talking about stoning him, for they were all very bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters. You see that? Y'all see when you y'all see where they're at? Y'all see what the emotional position these people are in? They have cried so hard. How many of y'all have ever cried so hard that you don't have no strength? It's one of these cries where you have a dry heat, where you, and then, you know, then as the comedians say, when mom and daddy whoop you, and then they hit you so hard that they knock all the style out of you, you know. Yeah, and then when you fall asleep, you do that. Yeah, not with that. You know, that's when you know you were mad. As you did. These guys were so mad at their leader. They didn't have no more strength. They cried because of everything that they have just lost, but they're now mad. They're bitter. They're angry. Bitter, they're angry at David. A good leader knows about your emotional state. A good leader learns how to deal with your emotional state. They all are crying, even David. The Bible says, but David found strength in the Lord. Read, Sister Orange, verse number 7.
And David said to Abathor the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me this ephod.
Mm-hmm.
So Abathor brought the ephod to David.
Mm-hmm.
David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?
Stop. David finds the strength. These men were looking to strangle David. They were looking to kill David. David is all by himself as a leader. He's all by himself, so he finds himself gaining the strength, and the strength that he found was found in who?
God.
So he understands, now as a leader, I cannot be caught up in an emotional state. I got to come up with some type of position to stand on so that these men can have some hope that they are able to be able to live their lives with their families again. As a good leader, we have to be able to find hope for the people that are following us, even when the hope looks as if it cannot be found. Got to find some way. I'm about to lose my house. I don't know how I'm going to get it done. Well, I got to find some way to help you understand that you're not going to lose your house. I can't give you that $5,000 out of my pocket. As a leader, to give you that $5,000 out of my pocket will be, why it's this, making you weak. I got to teach you how to be financially stable, but give you the hope that you will be able to pay your mortgage. A leader has to find that hope for you. Or help you find that hope.
Said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all.
Stop. David didn't go over there to the people that were following him. Hey, what y'all think we should do? Do y'all think that General Motors and Ford is coming over there to the people, their employees, saying, what do you think we should do? What they do? They turn to the higher people up there. They turn to these owners. They turn to these investors, and they talking to them. What do you think we should do? How do you think we should do it? As an influencer, you should not, watch this, you should not hang out with anybody as an influencer, as a leader. You should not hang out with anybody who's up underneath you as a leader. I'm going to make that clear. I'm going to make it clear because sometimes it sounds bad. What I'm saying simply is this right here. If I'm an influencer, if I'm your leader, okay, and then for me to hang out with you and try to discuss business with you, then I'm thinking on the level that you're thinking on. As a leader, I see things, see a lot more things than you see. How many of y'all have ever been on a job and thought that y'all knew more than the business in itself? That y'all just knew, oh, if they just did this right here, or we can have that. If they just did this right here, well, I know I can do that. You thought you knew more. But those people have been in business a lot longer than you've been employed. Why? Because they see more. They have records that you don't have. You don't know what went on last year in October business-wise, but they do. They know that they had to cut the cost in October. Why? Because last year in October, the cost was too high, and they didn't sell the product. So they know that they need to cut the cost, cut the hours, and try to maintain in October and build up for the next month. They have more information than you have. I can't hang out with you when you're thinking on this level and I'm thinking up here. I can always talk to you. I can always speak to you. But I can't hang out with you business-wise. I can't hang out with you as a leader. I can't. Sometimes you're going to have to cut your cords. That's what David did. David was hanging out with these boys at first. But when the stuff hit the fan, David had to turn away from those guys and had to connect with who? His God. Because his God sits higher and sees more than David could ever see. So God told David, as God being the leader, the great influencer, he tells David, who's trying to be a leader and an influencer, yes, this is what you do. But now since he says yes, that don't mean that the guys are going to do what David wants them to do. Because David has not approached the guys yet. A good leader, once he gets the information he needs, now he has to figure out how to deliver it. As a good leader, you're going to have to know how to deliver it. Sometimes you cannot sit around there and say, oh, baby, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, we just do this. Sometimes you're going to have to sit back there, and you sit back there and have to say, hey, this is what we got to do. This is how we got to do it. We need to get it done. Let's go. Some people ain't going to like it. Why? Because they're sensitive. Somebody say sensitive. They're so used to being handled because they're fragile. They're not able to endure, and then they'll turn their back on you. The first thing they'll do is say, oh, he hurt my feelings. He shouldn't have said that, or she shouldn't have did this, she shouldn't have did that. And because now they're caught up in emotions, you can't look at their emotions and say, you know what, oh, I'm sorry. No, I'll tell you I'm sorry after we get the job done. Because if you are a real follower who's trying to become a leader, when you see the success that we have, the first thing you're going to say is, I knew he had to do what he had to do in order to get the result that he had to get. I thank him for being hard on me. Please.
So David went. He
and
the
600. How many men?
600.
How many men?
600.
How many men?
600.
Okay, read.
He and the 600 men who were with him and came to the brook, the sword, where those left behind remained. But David pursued 400 men.
How many left with?
400.
How many left with?
400.
How many started off with? How many left with?
400.
Okay. So he got to the river Besor, and the river Besor, He gets there with 600, right, Elder? He gets there with 600. I'm getting ready to get out of here. He's getting ready with 600. And he leaves 200 behind. Why did he leave the 200 behind? Does it say?
They were too exhausted to cross the
brook. Okay. They were what?
They were too exhausted.
They were what?
They were tired.
They were tired. They were tired. They were tired. Let me tell you. Let me share something with you. Don't get tired at your pursuer. Don't get tired at your river pursuer. Somebody say what?
Wow.
Pursuer, by definition, means good news. They got tired before they crossed over their good news. They got tired. You have to know sometimes when you're being pushed, sometimes when you're being pressed, sometimes you have to move forward because it's some good news that's right in front of you. But you have to be willing to go a little further. You can't just get tired. You can't get tired. But David knew his people. This is not the first time David had left 200 people behind. David always leaves people behind for one simple reason. Can I tell y'all what that simple reason is when he goes to battle? So that he's moving forward. He needs people behind him because the enemy is known to circle behind you. He said he had 200 people before left behind them. Why? Because when he left them the last time, it was so that they may protect the stuff. David is strategical. He's a general in the mindset. He's not operating as a king. He's operating as a warrior now. He's operating as a warrior, as a leader, as somebody who's getting ready to go into battle. He's a great influencer. He didn't get mad at them because they got tired. He just left them there. Don't always get upset with people who don't want to do what you do. Sometimes you leave them in a place that they are in. That's less weight that you have to carry. Three.
Being 400 men, or 200 were too exhausted to cross the brook before, remained behind. Now they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And gave him bread, and he ate. And they provided him water to drink. They gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights.
Stop. David, who was getting ready to be jumped on by his men, has now convinced his men to come on with him.
Mm-hmm.
And now the people that have stolen something from David have taken all of their food. The only food that David has is the food that David has that he got when he brought it with him. Okay? So now we have to understand this. Let's understand that now David is getting ready to give something away that he probably can't replenish. Can I ask y'all something? Are you all willing to give away something that you know you might not be ready to replenish after everything that you had has been taken from you? See, a leader sees something. A leader sees something. See, everybody else probably will be getting mad at him. Man, why are you giving them my raisin? Why are you giving them my water? Man, we need that, man. Look all we got. But David, being a leader, knew that he needed something from him. What do y'all think David needed from him?
He's able to go with him.
To get that spell back.
If you're too weak to give me information, and I keep moving forward even though God tells me to, I want to get information from you. What do the police do when they got you locked up and they look for somebody else? And then they do this right here. You're hungry.
Let me go get you something to drink. What do you want to drink? The information. So they what? Feed you.
That's what it takes. Yeah. The Bible even tells us to be as wise as a serpent and cunning as a how did that go again? And cunning as a
serpent is cunning, wise as a dove.
Innocent as a dove.
Innocent as a dove, and cunning as a serpent. So we
innocent,
have,
that's the key thing. Got to be innocent.
Gotta be, but we got to be cunning, too. We got to be able, I ain't say manipulative, I say cunning. Meaning, I use truth to get you. I use the innocence to pull you. Good leader. Operate in that. Amen. Read.
David said to him, "To whom do you belong?
Okay.
And where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt,
uh-huh.
a servant of
Amalekite.
Uh-huh. And my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago."
Look at him, about to get him a friend.
"We laid a raid on the Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned big rags with fire."
Okay, so now watch this. So now he tells everything. They know that he was part of it. Why don't David let him kill him?
When you got one of the ops, you use the ops information.
You use the ops. You
got opposition.
Okay. You
got. I like to say, if you need information, and even though he knew that he was part of it, then you have to forgive that person for what he did, because that person might, Jesus said, love your enemy, be good, be kind to those. And then he said, so that person turns around and becomes his friend.
Becomes his friend because of the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this. This shows us something. A good leader must have in his or her heart the ability to forgive. Mm-hmm. Must have. In order to complete the goal or in order to complete the assignment, a good leader must have forgiveness. A good leader must show up. They must show up. If David would get sent the people out there to tell them to fight, they wouldn't know what to do. But a good leader must show up. And we're getting ready to read 15, and I'm going to shut it down there.
And David said to him, "Will you bring me down to these bands?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band."
16.
And he had brought him down, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah.
17, and then we're going to stop.
David slaughtered them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped.
Except
400 young men who rode on camels and
fled. Stop. We're going to stop right there. A good leader has to know to honor his honor contract and to honor his word. The man said, "I'll take you. If you promise me you won't turn me over or kill me." David honored his word. The young man took him. And the Bible says David slaughtered him. Why did David slaughter them? Because God told them to pursue and to recover all. God moved and the angels moved on David's behalf to make to make everything seem peaceful and comfortable to the Amalekites. They were drinking, they were eating, they were partying, they wasn't paying attention. And when you're not paying attention, that's when you get attacked, you're destroyed. So a good leader always keeps the people who's following him alert.
Watch out!
Alert. I tell y'all. Yeah, because you know I'm here as a leader.
Yeah, I know they back there.
I want to challenge you all, social media in here. I want to challenge you all to become a great influencer where people will want to follow you, will want to hang out with you, not so that you can get into a sinful way, but more so that they can see your light shine and that they may glorify God. How can you be a better influencer? I'm asking, if y'all could tell me, just some of y'all tell me, how can you be a better or effective influencer after today? Anybody has anything? Can anybody say anything?
Better communicator.
Better communicator makes a better influencer. Anyone else?
A better listener
will make you a better influencer. Yes, it will. Being kind, that will help you to be a better communicator.
Be a better influencer.
So I can influence somebody. That's good. Understanding. When I understand, go ahead.
Consistency in keeping your word.
Consistency in keeping your word helps you be a better influencer.
A big thing you said, and speaking from experience, is the emotion. Keep your emotions and feelings out of it, because they gonna cry and complain. But you gotta do what a leader's supposed to do.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, because I'm cry on Bishop Page's shoulders. I go to crying, and Bishop Page say, "Hey, we gotta go out here on this street right here." Because God say go on these streets, I'm like, well, Bishop, you know, last time I went on these streets, I don't feel like going to do that right there. Bishop, see, you always doing it. Oh, I'm just tired. I'm tired of ministry. I'm tired of everything. And Bishop don't care, because my emotions is considered a situation. The streets are Bishop's assignment. I'll deal with your emotions later. But get on out of here, baby. Let's go. Wipe the tears off your eyes. Cry me a river, I ain't swimming. You know? So I want you all, telling you all to be better influencers. Instead of being people of, who the influencers are of none effect, I challenge you all, find one person you can influence tomorrow by the end of this week. Now, by the end of this week, I mean this tomorrow. You know. It's by one. As Brother Todd Cooper would say, all minds clear.
All minds clear.
Go ahead.
Another thing is that your actions.
Okay, yeah, that your actions match. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to live like, yeah, you got to let your... I can't violate the rule and then get on you for violating the rule.
Yeah.
Y'all gotta lead by example. Yeah. And a good leader creates that.
That was right in my lead.
Yes.
Because as a leader create managers.
Yeah.
As a leader, I had to put things together and then put somebody in position to manage what I put together.
What if you have people who you got a position and you got people who are not qualified and they're not trying to be qualified, would you still put those people in a position just because their position is open?
No.
You'd rather have that position open than to put somebody who is not affected in that position.
No, because it's going to work. It's going to still be on me. And just because you're in the position and I go home, as soon as something happens, you're going to call me, and I got to come back up here. So I might as well just stay and do it myself and train somebody the right way to do it. That way, when I walk away from it, I ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah. So you actually sound like you're telling us of something that happened to you while you've been the leader.
Oh, I've been leading since I was 20 years old.
That's what happens in
the
district.
Yeah.
They
want to
go home and spend time with their
family. Yeah, you learn not to do that. And you also learn that other people, that when you become the leader, other people who wanted to be the leader might leave because they wanted to be the leader, not you the leader. So you cannot let, it's all right for other people to be intimidated by your greatness. It's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not your fault that you're great.
Uh-uh. Not.
They just need to strive to be great.
And you said something that was so powerful, because that happens in the church, right?
Yeah.
The pastor passed away, and you got 6-7 ministers that's on the roster, and all of a sudden the church pulled one of them up and said, "You're going to be the pastor," and all of a sudden everybody else looking and say, "Well, you know, I should have been the pastor. Why can I?" And then, you know, because it's First Corinthians, the first Church of Corinth.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a year later, you find Second Church of Corinth because of a split. Because somebody, you got people who believe that you should have been the pastor in there, and they co-signing you and causing you to want to go ahead and you get out there.
Yeah.
And one thing that I will tell people who are in that situation right now, sit your tail down, because God knows who he wants to be appointed. And if that was your church, Church God is going to put you in there. Believe you, whoever's there won't be there for long. You just got to be patient and faithful. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but a good leader already has things in before they even go nowhere.
Yeah.
And so then there's no fuss among the people.
Yeah.
That's just happened. Yeah, and that's a good leader. He already told them who he would like to be the person, and then it won't get up and leave. And then Deacon so-and-so gonna go up there, and somebody gonna tell him that he's gonna be the pastor, and then here we go again, it goes second Corinthians, second church of Corinth.
Out there, because the first church, they didn't split.
Yeah.
And then now they're going to start talking about one another. And but a good leader will never get into a conversation or run their mouth and put their mouth on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop, come on, wrap us up and get us on out of here. Come on, Bishop.
Yeah. I just thank God for your leadership. You know, I always say I'm not... I don't consider myself to be such a great leader.
Oh,
but it seems that I always tell the other guy what to do,
mm-hmm.
or the things that the Lord has given me, but me trying to communicate what God gives to me. And it seems that I'm better at telling somebody else something that God told me, and then let them communicate it.
Mm.
And I have that problem. So that's why I thank God for this leadership class. I'm listening of the things, because there's a lot of things. Before, I started a business one time. I was selling cars. And Becky, I'm trying to sell cars.
Hey, Sam, you did a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I know you sold cars.
I didn't hear about selling
cars. Yeah, I didn't hear about that. That's what I'm doing.
And I had a friend come and tell me.
He told me about telling the truth.
He said, Paige, you're not going to make it in this business. And I said, why is it that I won't make it in this particular business? He said, you're too soft.
Mm.
He said, because somebody come down and get one of these cars and don't pay you. You're going to say, oh, baby, that's all right.
Just pay me next week.
Just pay me next week. And they're going to take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because, you know, you don't have that part of the venue to do that. And more than likely, that's probably where it would be.
You can't grab a car. Oh, well, that's all
right. I mean, that's just my heart, you know, yeah. to always want to help somebody else and to see someone else grow. Yeah. Even if I don't grow, I want to see somebody else make it up. And then you like to be where you can tell people things. And then I don't like to
argue.
That's my wife. Can't you say that? I give them a silent treatment in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone. Just shut up. And so I appreciate, you know, this leadership player. You know, things you want to tell people, and you don't want to. Then I realize you don't want to offend them. But as being a leader, you got to offend them.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want to offend them. Even though you don't want to put no hurt on them,
or
something that you know ought to be done, but you sit back and it grieves you to see it, and you just sit there and grieve within your spirit about something that you know that you ought to say.
Yes,
but then when you start looking at the feelings of other people, you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes you a bad leader.
Yeah.
So I just thank God for you. That's why I like to come. I always get something, and then see, I might be preaching that same thing. Might not be the same way, but he has showed me something that I need to do. And so when I start out tomorrow, then that's why I say, it's a good to have an iron sharpened an iron, because we don't do things the same way. So I thank God for your minister, Apostle Bailey, and all of y'all taking time to listen to me. You know, I try to have the heart of God.
Mm.
I don't like it.
The way I am too. Me and my daughter crying. I cry watching the movie. I'll be like, can't believe they killed that dog.
I mean, I get emotional now. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, thank you for the words. And can I just share what I...
Please.
I woke up this morning at... Went to bed about 1 o'clock last night.
You be up late.
And I woke up at 3 o'clock. I was having a dream.
Hmm.
I was having a vision.
Yeah.
I didn't have no trouble getting out of bed. Usually I get up, bumping through the house, but this morning I jumped straight up out of the bed after the dream. And something that God said to me, for me to do, he said, there are a lot of people that know to use my name when they pray. They understand that. He said, but most of the people don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you need to teach people about my name. Because even though they've been in church for years, they still don't understand me. And I want you to teach people about my name. Because we got ministers still don't know who Jesus is. They know how to use the name. They use the name when they pray. They use the name when they sing. They cast out devils in the name. But all of a sudden, when they get to the baptism pool, they leave it out. I wonder why. That came up in AD 325 when they stopped doing it. The people just don't understand who I am. They think I'm three different persons. But I'm only one. I'm just like the wind. I can take on many forms. Yeah. And yet I'm still the wind. They don't understand that. That the spirit is like the wind. And God said, I'm a spirit, I'm like the wind. I can take on the form of a hurricane and yet wind will be everywhere.
Yeah.
I just took on the form. Yeah. I can take on the form of a tornado. And all the reason you know it's a tornado is because you don't see the wind, but you see the dust.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And he said, I was like the dust in the wind. The only reason they stole me is because of the dust that I had over. But yet I was the wind on the inside. It was just the dust you was looking at me on the outside. And the people think that I'm different. But I'm still the wind. Everywhere you know the spirit, you're going to see wind. On the day of Pentecost, came as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house. He said, that was me. That's from the wind. The spirit is like the wind. And we all got to notice that God still will be wind, whether he's a hurricane or a tornado. He's still wind. They need to tell people about my name. That's what they already know about the name. They don't understand it yet. They think I'm somebody else. They're making me three persons. The reason they don't use my name in baptism is because they see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they think in Matthew 28:19, he said they see that. And they think that's three different people that I'm talking about. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to say, Lord. You know, I don't know how to. I'm gonna give you wisdom. And so I just remember, I went to the book of Isaiah. And I started reading Isaiah chapter 40-45. And everything in the book of Isaiah, it talked about the servant who he's gonna send, and he said, then they're gonna know I am he. Everywhere in Isaiah, he said, you're going to know that I am he. When he arrives, you're going to know that I am he. I am your God. I am the Lord. And the Lord, if the Lord is the owner of all things, and Jesus is Lord, then the same Lord that was in the New Testament was the same Lord in the Old Testament, because there can't be the one on.
Yes.
Teach the people about my name. They start using my name. And so a lot of times when we get into different organizations, and some say one thing, and some say the other thing, but they look at my word and then they pass right over it. Some say that, oh, I'm not going to do what Jesus said, I'm going to do what Jesus said. Is it because they don't know who I am? If they really knew me, they would know that Peter did what I told them to do. If they really knew me, they would have done what Paul told them to do. If they really knew me, they would do what he said, that there's only one name above every name, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. They would know that. They would know that was still me. So why can't we get an understanding of who he is? 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't sleep for 2 hours. Right up. Now hear the voice of God. I'm going to hear the voice of God. A lot of times in your dream, in your vision of the night, deep sleep fall upon you that start talking to you. You don't realize. I think that's in Job 32 or 33. He said, he speaks to you in a dream and a vision of the night. Then he opened up your understanding. So God said, I've opened up your understanding. You might be able to go out and speak with wisdom on this thing and not speaking that we got to argue about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, not knowing that he was the same person. That's just my heart. Thank you for your leadership, Bishop Bailey. I appreciate you. Thank you for all you do for leadership. And so I'm learning. I pay attention. Amen. But I tell you something, if you say something to me, you might say next year. I said, well, you remember what you said? And I said, how do you know what I said way back then? I said, I pay attention, man. And I watch things. And I pay close attention. And so I've got to learn how to be a better leader. Y'all, excuse me, Brother Prego and sister. I've got to learn how to be a better leader to y'all. So I apologize for not being the leader to y'all that I y'all expect from me, and I'm going to be careful. So I'm going to say that, amen?
Amen.
So if I start hurting your feelings, don't get upset.
Bishop, you're available next Saturday, right?
Yes, sir.
Bishop Page will be bringing the message next Saturday. Amen?
Amen.
So y'all be ready for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So next Saturday, praise God, Bishop Page will be in the house.
Amen.
Delivering the word.
Amen.
We promise you, he will get you out here for Jack in the Box clothes. Oh, wait, they open 24 hours. Amen. So we've got a blessed time in the name of the Lord on today. Any prayer requests, testimony, so we get out of here on today.
Y'all continue to pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm reaching.
Amen.
And I'm going to find.
Amen.
I'm searching now. I'm going to find.
Pray for him. He's always used us the way he wants to use us. And that we will know bless the people when we sing them of the anointing. Amen.
Can I say something last Sunday?
Y'all was off the chain.
Really?
Yeah. Y'all it's like y'all got comfortable, as Dion would say. Don't let me get comfortable. Because I'm getting comfortable. It's like y'all got comfortable.
Yeah.
And you know.
Every time you see us, that's the worst we're going to be.
We appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all next week.